Okay, let's open in prayer this morning and let's ask the Lord to bless us in this time as the Word of God leads us and guides us in this hour. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your Word. We thank you that your Word is truth. We know, Lord, that there is much going on in the world around us, but we are anchored on your Word, Father. We are not looking to the right nor to the left, but we are trusting in you and you alone. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is going to lead us and to guide us into all truth this morning and reveal to us things that will help us and guide us in this hour. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, let's go to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47. The title of this message this morning is Light in Goshen. And the reason for this message will become fairly apparent as we just go through this message this morning. Given what's happening in the world out there and the narrative of the world, it's important that we are founded on the scriptures and not what man is saying. So when you look at Genesis 46, this is a time where Pharaoh offered Jacob and his relatives the best land in Egypt. So Joseph was second to Pharaoh in Egypt, and now Jacob had come to Egypt and he was going to live in Egypt with his son Joseph and all his family, and the region that they were given was Goshen. And it's interesting because the Bible says that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. So let's just read from Genesis chapter 47 and verse 6. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, "Choose any place in the entire land of Egypt for them to live. Give them the best land of Egypt. Let them live in the region of Goshen. And if any of them have special skills, put them in charge of my livestock too." And because verse 10 says, "Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh again before leaving his court." That's interesting because, you know, the Bible says that the blessing of the upright with the city is exalted. So because of the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But with the mouth of the wicked, a city is overthrown. So we have the power today to bless this nation. So the words that we speak determine whether we bless this nation or whether this nation is cursed. So it's important that we as a body of believers speak blessing over our leaders, over this nation and over this world in this time. I'll say it again. Proverbs 11:11, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, the city is overthrown." So what do we know about Goshen? Well, Goshen was a region in the northern part of Egypt, east of the Lower Nile, where the children of Israel lived from the time of Joseph to the time of Moses. And that time frame was 430 years, and you can find that in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. So Goshen represented God's protective covenant to his people. And Israel grew and multiplied in Goshen. But it wasn't all good. So if you move now to Exodus chapter 1, you'll see that things became difficult for the Israelites. I want to read from verse 7 in Exodus chapter 1. And it says this, "But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, 'Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country.' So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labour. They forced them to build the cities of Python and Ramesses as supply centres for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. Keep reading. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew wives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's order. They allowed the boys to live too. So you can see that a lot was happening in Egypt. There was oppression in Egypt. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. They tried to abort all the baby boys, but God-fearing midwives had another plan. But God had a plan also. He raised up Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. And Moses, you know, he was in the backside of the wilderness for 40 years being prepared for this very hour. So, but not all received Moses, because things got worse, not better, for Israel when Moses appeared. So have a look at Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. So you would have thought that when Moses appeared to the Israelites and recognized that he'd been sent by God, that they would have rejoiced. But what happened was, because of Moses' intervention and because Moses went to Pharaoh and commanded that he let the Israelites go, they even became more harsh to the Israelites. They made them work harder. They put more burdens on them. And if you look at verse 21 of Exodus chapter 5, you'll see just how concerned the Israelites were. The foreman said to them, "May the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You will put a sword under their hands or into their hands and an excuse to kill us." Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, "Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you've done nothing to rescue them." But see, Moses and the Israelites were looking at the natural. When you look at the world today, you can sometimes wonder, where's God in all this? Where's God in all this with this concern of COVID-19 and, you know, the world's in free fall, both economically and in fear about, you know, contracting this disease. So where's God in all this? You know, Israel cried out, "Why have you put such extra burden on us?" But God had a plan. And it's important that we understand this hour, that God's got a plan. He wants us to trust him. Have a look at chapter 6 and verse 1 of Exodus. Look at the response from the Lord to Moses. "Then the Lord told Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land.' And God said to Moses, 'I am Yahweh,'" or Jehovah, "'the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them. And I am reaffirming my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians. And I am well aware of my covenant with them. And go down a little bit further. Verse 8. And I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. So this was a difficult time for both Moses and the Israelites. But God was with Moses. And that's why, you know, the presence of God empowered him to do the things that God called him to do. Now, you can also study that out in Acts chapter 7, verse 17 to 36. In fact, just go there for a moment. Acts chapter 7. And if you study the book of Acts, chapter 7 is the chapter that records the words that Stephen, the first Christian martyr, spoke when he addressed the religious council. And I want to read from verse 17 of Acts chapter 7, New Living Translation. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes, and his children cared for him at home for 3 months. Then they had to abandon him. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him up as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, so Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day, he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. "Men," he said, "you're brothers. Why are you fighting each other?" But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" he asked. "Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptians yesterday?" When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived in a foreign land of Midian. There, his two sons were born. 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt." So God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us?" Through the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. So these miraculous wonders and signs. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 7, because I want to touch this morning on the 10 plagues that Egypt suffered. And I want us to see the contrast between the Egyptians and the Israelites during this period. Because what's happening in this world today is a plague. There is a plague that's gone throughout this earth. And it's important that God's people understand that we're in Goshen. Goshen is a place of covenant. Goshen is a safe place. Goshen is a place of blessing. The world's in darkness, but not God's children. So if you look at the world and you look at how the world has treated Christians for the last decade or two decades, it's not surprising to me that there's a shift in this world today. You know, there's been a lot of burden and pressure placed on believers. But those that know the Word of God, those that have faith in God, those that put their trust in Him in this hour are going to live in the blessing that God has made available to His people. And it's a type of Goshen. And Goshen is that place of covenant with God. It's a protective covenant for His children. And if there was ever an hour in this world to trust God at His Word and His covenant promises, it's now. Because the world is in free fall. The world doesn't have answers. The world's in panic. The world's in economic despair. And the world's fearful of contracting a disease which has the ability to take human life. But not God's children. Not those that put their trust and their faith in God. Hallelujah. So let's have a look at Exodus chapter 7. There were 10 plagues. The first one was a plague of blood. And all the Nile and the rivers became blood. Now it's interesting, and I'm just going to highlight some points as we go. And it says in verse 19, "Then the Lord said to Moses, take Aaron, take your staff, raise your hand over the waters of Egypt and its rivers, canals, ponds, and all the reservoirs. Turn all the water to blood. Everywhere in Egypt, the water will turn to blood, even the water stored in wooden bowls and stone pots." Now look at verse 24. "Then all the Egyptians dug along the riverbank to find drinking water, for they couldn't drink the water from the Nile. 7 days passed from the time the Lord struck the Nile." Now it's interesting. It was the Egyptians who were digging for water. Doesn't mention the Israelites. Then the next plague, plague number two, a plague of frogs. I want you to go down to verse 5. "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, raise your staff in your hand over all the rivers, canals, ponds of Egypt, and bring up frogs over all the land. So Aaron raised his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the whole land. But the magicians were able to do the same thing with their magic. They too caused frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron and begged with the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people." Isn't it interesting? "Take the frogs from me and my people. I will let your people go so they can offer sacrifices to the Lord." Now look at verse 9. "You set the time." So that's interesting. There are frogs everywhere. But Pharaoh says, "You set the time." Moses replied, "Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, and your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs." No mention of Israel. No mention of Goshen. "They will remain only in the Nile River. Do it tomorrow," Pharaoh said. "All right," Moses replied. It will be as you said. Then you will know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you, your houses, your officials, your people. They will remain only in the Nile River." Verse 15, "But when Pharaoh saw the relief had come, he became stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted." So that was plague number two. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and God's power was going to be revealed through this hardness of heart. Now, I want you to notice the third plague. This is the only plague that didn't come with a warning. There was no warning of this plague. So the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, raise your staff, strike the ground. The dust will turn into swarms of gnats throughout the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded them. When Aaron raised his hand and struck the ground with his staff, gnats infested the entire land, covering the Egyptians and their animals. I want you to notice distinction here. The Egyptians and their animals. All the dust in the land of Egypt turned into gnats. Now, this area was infested with gnats. Would have been a very uncomfortable time for the Egyptians. Pharaoh's magicians tried to do the same thing with their secret arts, but this time they failed. And the gnats covered everyone, people, animals alike. This is a finger of God, the magicians exclaimed to Pharaoh. Even they recognized that this was a supernatural act of God. But Pharaoh's heart remained hard, and he wouldn't listen to them, just as the Lord had predicted. Now, it's interesting, too, that there is no specific end to this plague. It's not recorded. There was no warning of this plague, and there's no specific end to this plague. The next plague was a plague of flies. And I want you to read from verse 22 with me, still in Exodus 8. This time I will spare the region of Goshen, where my people live. No flies will be found there. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that I am present even in the heart of your land. I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. That's interesting, isn't it? I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will happen tomorrow. That's amazing how God is telling his people that there's going to be a distinction between Goshen and Egypt. This is how it applies to us today. There's a distinction between what's happening in the world and what's happening in our lives as believers. And we must trust God with that. So, of course, the flies, they went throughout everything. And the Lord did just as he said. A thick swarm of flies, this is verse 24, filled Pharaoh's palace and the house of the officials. The whole land of Egypt was thrown into chaos by the flies. And of course, you know, then there was more discussion about letting his people go. And of course, Pharaoh continued to harden his heart and he became stubborn and refused to let God's people go. The fifth plague, now this is interesting, was a plague against livestock. And again, the Lord made a distinction, verse 4 of Exodus chapter 9. But the Lord will again make a distinction between the livestock of the Israelites and that of the Egyptians. Not a single one of Israel's animals will die. The Lord has already set the time for the plague to begin. He has declared that he will strike the land tomorrow. And the Lord did just as he said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died. Now, it didn't say some. It said all the livestock of the Egyptians died. But the Israelites didn't lose a single animal. Now, this is supernatural. You know, these plagues were decimating Egypt. Well, this coronavirus is decimating the world's economy as we watch in this hour. So the next plague was a plague of festering boils, and it went through all of Egypt, and it was even on the magicians, who were unable to stand before Moses because the boils had broken out on them and all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and just as the Lord had predicted to Moses, Pharaoh refused to listen. We then move on to the seventh plague, and it was a plague of hail. And verse 16 of Exodus 9. But I will spare you for I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. But you still lord it over my people and refuse to let them go. So tomorrow at this time, I will send a hailstorm more devastating than any in all the history of Egypt. Quick, order your livestock and servants to come in from the fields and to find shelter. Any person or animal left outside will die when the hail falls. Some of the of Pharaoh's officials were afraid because of what the Lord had said. Some of them listened. Some of them took note of what was happening. They quickly brought their servants and livestock in from the fields, but those who paid no attention to the word of the Lord left theirs out in the open. Now, I want you to just think of that for a moment. Here's a chance for the world to listen. Here's a chance for the world to look up and take notice of what's happening and dare to put trust in God, to turn from their ways and turn to the Lord. Just like in Egypt, some of the officials in Pharaoh's Egypt listened to the Lord, and because of it, their servants and their livestock were spared. Now, it's interesting. Go down to verse 25. This hail left all of Egypt in ruins. The hail struck down everything in the open field, people, animals, plants alike, even the trees were destroyed. The only place without hail was the region of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. Now, I hope you're starting to take note of something here. God is protecting his own. He did then, he will now. Never fear. Trust God at his word. Interesting. Now, chapter 10 of Exodus, it was the plague of locusts. And of course, the locusts went throughout the whole land of Egypt. And verse 14, and the locusts swarmed over the whole land of Egypt, setting in dense swarms from one end of the country to the other. It was the worst locust plague in Egypt's history, and there will never be another one like it. For the locusts covered the whole country and darkened the land. They devoured every plant in the field and all the fruit on the trees that had survived the hailstorm. Not a single leaf was left on the trees and plants throughout the land of Egypt. Now, of course, this got Pharaoh's attention. But even then, his heart became hardened. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, verse 20, again, so he refused to let the people go. Now, this next plague is where the title of this message came from. And I want to read from verse 21 of chapter 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, lift your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with a darkness so thick you can feel it. So Moses lifted his hand to the sky, and a deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. During all that time, the people could not see each other and no one moved. Now, I want you to think about this. No one moved for 3 days. Mothers couldn't see children. Fathers couldn't see wives. Brothers couldn't see sisters. Sisters couldn't see brothers. It was so dark, no one could see and no one could move. That would have been, to the Egyptians, frightening indeed. But look what the word of God says. It says here in verse 20, during that time the people could not see each other and no one moved, but there was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. There was light in Goshen. Egypt was in darkness. See, this world is a type of Egypt. The world as we know it is a type of Egypt. This world's in darkness because Jesus is the light of the world. They don't have the light because he is the light. We have the light. And during the plagues of Egypt, there was light in Goshen. There was never darkness. During this time in the earth when COVID-19 is covering the entire earth, there is light for the believer. There is light in the house of the believer. There is peace in the house of the believer. There is confidence and reassurance in a God that we put faith and trust in, the Lord God Almighty. We're not like the Egyptians that were at the mercy of the elements. We're not at the mercy of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. God's already declared and shown his mercy to us by sending his son Jesus Christ to be the redemptive sacrifice for all humanity. And those that put their faith in him are going to have light in Goshen. There's going to be light in your house when the world's in darkness. Now, I tell you, this world is now in darkness. This world has changed in 4 weeks. But the Christian that knows their God does not have to be moved by the events of this world. Rest in him. There's light where you are, but there's darkness in the world. So that was a pretty amazing experience. Now, just on that, you're just talking about darkness for a moment. It said that it was so thick that they could feel it. Have a look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. 2 Peter, and hold your place in Exodus. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 17. These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. So this is describing the wicked that turn from the ways of God, reject God, that deceive others who end up going down paths of deception and destruction as well. But it says they are doomed to blackest darkness. That's the fate of the unbeliever that will not in this hour and other hours where God in his mercy is giving opportunity for people to turn from their ways. This is an hour when the world can look up and live. When the world can say yes to Jesus. When the church can preach the gospel, the power of the gospel with authority. And go out in the world. We may at the moment not be able to meet as a body of believers, but we are the church and we're not bound by bricks and mortar or buildings. We're the church. We can go anywhere, at any time, in our marketplace, in the shopping centers, where we work, in our homes, and reveal God's love to a world that's in darkness. Amen? So have a look at Jude 13 as well. Jude 13, just a little bit further, just before the book of Revelation. And again, it's talking about wicked and deceiving people. And it says, they are like wild waves of the sea, churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They are like wandering stars, doomed forever to blackest darkness. See, we don't often preach much about, a Christless eternity. But You know, sometimes the hour is right to warn people what's coming. This is a warning. This is God's warning and mercy. This is God's mercy to the world. You know, the world has opened doors for sickness and disease because this is a cursed world. COVID-19 is part of the curse, make no mistake about it. It's in this earth because of the curse. And it doesn't need to be in your life or my life because we have a covenant of protection. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. But let me say this to you, and let me say this as a stark warning. If you fear, if you allow fear to enter in, if you allow fear to cause you to speak negative and to speak doubt and unbelief and to get away from the truth, fear will open a door for sickness into your body, and fear will open a door for you to be tethered and connected to a cursed world system. Fear not. Fear not. Always understand the reason why Job had the issues that plagued his life was not because God just allowed the devil to go in there and destroy him. No, you've got to study out Job carefully. Study out Job chapter 3 and verse 25. You know, Job declared, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." Job greatly feared. He had dread. He feared for his family. He feared for his children. He feared, you know, that they may not be, you know, living honorable, holy lives. And he continually were making sacrifices. What Job did was open a door. And that door allowed the enemy to come in and decimate Job's family and his own health. But he had a covenant on his life, and the devil couldn't take his life. So what I want to say here is this. If you get into the world's narrative of fear and worry and dread and concern, well, what if it comes on me? Can I do this? Can I do that? Stop it. Don't talk like that. Take the word. Make it yours. Declare it by faith in Jesus' name. Trust God of his word. Remember, we are light in Goshen. We're not in darkness. We have light, and that light is going to carry us through till this thing's passed, and then we're going to be stronger and mightier and more influential than what we were before. I'm telling you, God is moving on the earth in this hour, but he needs his people to have faith in God. Now, going back to Exodus. Back to Exodus. Now, we know the last plague. The last plague was, of course, the death of Egypt's firstborn. And if you were to read from chapter 12 and verse 3, announced to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, an animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animals according to the size of each family, how much they can eat. The animal you select must be 1 year old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Jesus was a perfect lamb sacrifice. This is a type of Jesus. There had to be bloodshed. There had to be blood over the doorpost. Read from verse 13. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you. When I strike the land of Egypt. Can I tell you now, this plague of COVID-19 will not touch you because the blood of Jesus has sealed you. You are sealed to the day of redemption. You need to declare it by faith in Jesus' name. Thank God Father, we thank you. We thank you that the blood of Jesus covers us right now. We thank you that our families are covered. We thank you that our houses are protected. We thank you that our workplaces are protected. I thank you, Father God, that everyone in this church is protected because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us. We are in covenant with you, Lord, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And according to your word, no plague of death will touch us because of the blood. And we thank you for that. And that includes COVID-19, Father. We receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as a result of those plagues, particularly the last one, where every firstborn of Egypt died, then Pharaoh relented and released the Egyptians. It's amazing. And of course, you know, the Exodus began and 430 years had passed. In fact, verse 40 of chapter 12 says this: the people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. In fact, it was on the last day of the 430th year that all the Lord's forces left the land. On that night, the Lord kept his promise to bring his people out of the land of Egypt. So this night belongs to him, and it must be commemorated every year by all the Israelites from generation to generation. Now, if you go back a little bit further, I just want to show you and make a point to you. Verse 35 of Exodus chapter 12. And the people of Israel did as Moses instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing, articles of silver and gold. The Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. It was the Lord who caused that. Favor on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for, so they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. This was a great wealth transfer that happened in one day. I'm telling you, what's happening in the world today is going to see a wealth transfer from those, you know, that have been faithful to God, that have put their trust in him concerning their finances, that have stored in heaven treasures, not in the earth. I'm telling you, trust God. The earth at the moment is in economic freefall, but those that trust God with their financial provision, there's going to be a wealth transfer. It's coming. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous, and the righteous are going to take it by faith. It's going to happen again in this earth. Trust God in everything that he has declared and decreed in his word. Now, I want to say this as we just sort of bring this to a bit of a close this morning. Jesus was and always will be the answer to every human need. He was the lamb sacrifice. The world is crying out for answers. He's the answer. The world wants this COVID-19 virus to cease. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. He's the answer for everything. And we have the answer as the church. We're the church. Whether we're meeting on Sunday is irrelevant. What's important is that wherever we are, we represent him as the church of Jesus Christ. And the world at the moment is looking for an answer. Well, the answer is in your heart and it's in your mouth. And we need to speak it by faith. I want to go back to that point I made earlier. In Exodus 10:23, you don't need to turn there, but there was light in Goshen as usual. Why? Because of the Lord's presence. And go with me to John chapter 1. As we finish this morning with some scriptures in relation to who is the light of the world today. John chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 1 to verse 9 first of John 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. Now, verse 4. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This time in the earth cannot extinguish the light of God that's in our lives. It can't extinguish the light of the covenant that's in Goshen for his people who put their faith and trust in him. Don't be moved by what's happening around you. Trust God at his word. Verse 6, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, we know who that light was. That was Jesus Christ. Have a look at chapter 3 and verse 18 to 21. John chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. No one has ever seen God. Sorry, my apologies. Chapter 3, let's get chapter 3, 18. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. You've heard me say it many times. Christianity is about right believing. It's about believing. It's not about performing or doing. We must believe in the one whom God has sent. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. How powerful that is. Light of the world. He is the light. Have a look at John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus' light leads to life. Hallelujah. In John chapter 9 and verse 5. John chapter 9 and verse 5. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And last scripture this morning that I want to read. John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Jesus replied, my light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you'll become children of the light. There's a lot in that this morning, and I deliberately and intentionally wanted to read a lot of scripture so that we could feed our spirit. Now, you can go back over those scriptures, but I want to say something about this virus. COVID-19 virus is a weapon or a plague formed against us. It's part of the curse of this world. It's a part of the curse. But it shall not come near us, and it shall not prosper. We're redeemed from the curse, and we are in Goshen. So let's make that our confession today and the days going forward. Don't listen to what the world is saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use wisdom. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't follow the instructions that both federal and state governments have decreed. Yes, you need to do that. But this isn't a natural enemy. This is spiritual. We don't defeat this because we do something in the natural. We defeat this because we get on our knees before God and we take authority against this virus and we command it to go in Jesus' name. We bind and we loose through power of agreement. That's what will kill the snake and cut its head off, is prayer and agreement. As we come together as a body of believers and we trust our God. And we're not moved by any other voice other than the Word of God. That's going to lead us. That's going to guide us. That's going to keep us in the light of Goshen through this. And Father, we want to thank you this morning for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. We know, Lord God, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are securely seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not in a shaky place. We're on a sure foundation, and our foundation is the rock, and that is Jesus. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise forever and ever. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.